overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 441. It is April 8, 2016. Well, we're going to conclude Spurgeon's comments on Christian's great miracle that he experienced, as we read about it yesterday, from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. But we begin with a quote from Bunyan, from Spurgeon. Spurgeon is actually quoting from the story as he goes along. "Now, as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, 'Peace be to thee.' And so the first said to him, 'Thy sins be forgiven.' The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark upon his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. And so they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, 'Thus far did come, loaden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me.'" Imagine the experience of some dear friend who has just believed in Jesus, says Charles Spurgeon, and to whom the Spirit of God bears witness that he is forgiven. What sort of man will he be? I'll try to picture him to you. Already I see his eyes glistening with a light I never saw there before. The man looks positively handsome. You would hardly recognize him if you knew him before this great change happened to him. He has had a burden on his mind that made him always look careworn. That's gone. Now he looks supremely blessed. But I also see tears in his eyes. How came they there? He was not much given to weeping in his old days. He's grieving to think that he should ever have offended so kind a God. For nothing makes us so sorry for sin as the sense of being completely forgiven. He knows he is pardoned. He's sure of it. He knows that God loves him, and how he loathes himself that he should ever have sunk so low. Yet, if you'll take one of his tears and put it under a microscope or analyze its component parts, you'll find that there's no bitterness in it. Joy is mingled with his sorrow as he stands at the foot of the cross and bathes his Lord's feet with his penitential yet rainbowed tears. Now see him go home. He has some Christian friends there, I hope. And if so, he will not be long with them before they begin to notice the change in him. And he's not long before he wants to tell them the blessed secret. Mother wants to know what's happened to her boy. And his arms are thrown around her neck as he says, 'Mother, I have found the Lord.' She's very delighted, perhaps very surprised, for it was not his usual way to talk about religion. He used sometimes to sneer and jeer at it. Will he go to bed without prayer? No. He needs nobody to tell him to pray. He's been praying all the way home, and while he's been sitting there. These are the first real prayers he has ever presented. But it has now become as natural for him to pray as it is for a living man to breathe. The time when Christians began to sing in the ways of the Lord is when they first lose their burden at the foot of the cross. Not even the songs of the angels seem so sweet as the first song of rapture which gushes from the inmost soul of the forgiven child of God. Well might poor pilgrim, having lost his load, give three great leaps for joy and go on singing, 'Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me.'" Believer, do you recollect the day when your fetters fell off? Do you remember the place where Jesus met you and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have blotted out as a cloud thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud thy sins. They shall not be mentioned against thee any more forever. Oh, what a sweet season is that, when Jesus takes away the pain of sin. When the Lord first pardoned my sin, I was so joyous that I could scarce refrain from dancing. I thought on my road home from the house where I had been set at liberty that I must tell the stones in the street the story of my deliverance. So full was my soul of joy that I wanted to tell every snowflake that was falling from the heaven of the wondrous love of Jesus, who had blotted out the sins of one of the chief of rebels. That happy day when I found the Savior and learned to cling to his dear feet was a day never to be forgotten by me. I can testify that the joy of that day was utterly indescribable. There was no expression, however fanatical, which would have been out of keeping with the joy of my spirit at that hour. Many days of Christian experience have passed since then, but there's never been one which has had the full exhilaration, the sparkling delight which that first day had. I thought I could have sprung from the seat on which I sat and have called out with the wildest of those Methodist brethren who were present, I am forgiven! I am forgiven! A monument of grace! A sinner saved by blood! My spirit saw its chains broken to pieces. I felt that I was an emancipated soul, an heir of heaven, a forgiven one, accepted in Jesus, plucked out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit, with my feet set upon a rock and my goings established. I could understand what John Bunyan meant when he declared that he wanted to tell the crows on the plowed land all about his conversion. I have heard a Christian say that when he found the Savior, he was so happy that he did not know how to contain himself. And he sang like a whole band of music, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. It's the privilege of true believers to be singing all the time. Joy in God is suitable to our condition. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Joy in the Lord is more injurious to Satan's empire than anything. I am of the same mind as Luther, who, when he heard any bad news, used to say, Come, let's sing a psalm and spite the devil. And they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. Now, when the ways get very rough and become the paths of suffering, and the pains are frequent and intense, sing still. No music that goes up to the throne of God is sweeter in Jehovah's ear than the song of suffering saints. They shall bless him upon their beds and sing his high praises in the fire. To go right through the valley of the shadow of death and sing all the way, to climb the hill difficulty and to sing up its crags, to pass by giant grim, and even by the castle of giant despair, and through the enchanted ground, and still to keep singing, and to come to the river's brink, and descend into it, still singing. This is lovely in a Christian. May the statutes of the Lord be our songs in the house of our pilgrimage, until we mount to sing above. We owe all to Jesus crucified. What is your life, my brethren, but the cross? Whence comes the bread of your soul, but from the cross? What is your joy, but the cross? What is your delight? What is your heaven, but the Blessed One, once crucified for you, whoever liveth to make intercession for you? Cling to the cross, then. Put both arms around it. Hold to the crucified, and never let him go. Come afresh to the cross at this moment, and rest there now and forever. Then, with the power of God resting upon you, go forth and preach the cross. Tell out the story of the bleeding lamb. Repeat the wondrous tale and nothing else. Never mind how you do it. Only proclaim that Jesus died for sinners. The cross held up by a baby's hand is just as powerful as if a giant held it up. The power lies in the Word itself, or rather in the Holy Spirit, who works by it and with it. O glorious Christ, when I have had a vision of thy cross, I have seen it at first like a common gibbet, and thou wast hanging on it like a felon. But as I have looked, I have seen it begin to rise and tower aloft until it had reached the highest heaven, and by its mighty power has lifted up myriads to the throne of God. I have seen its arms extend and expand until they have embraced all the earth. I have seen the foot of it go down deep, as our helpless miseries are. What a vision I have had of thy magnificence, O thou crucified one! Brethren, believe in the power of the cross for the conversion of those around you. Do not say of any man that he cannot be saved. The blood of Jesus is omnipotent. Do not say of any district that it is too sunken, or of any class of men that they are too far gone. The word of the cross reclaims the lost. Believe it to be the power of God, and you shall find it so. Believe in Christ crucified, and preach boldly in his name, and you shall see great and gladsome things. Do not doubt the ultimate triumph of Christianity. Do not let a mistrust flit across your soul. The cross must conquer. It must blossom with a crown commensurate with the person of the crucified and the bitterness of his agony. His reward shall parallel his sorrows. Trust in God and lift your banner high. And now with psalms and songs advance to battle. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The Son of the Highest leads our van. Onward with blast of silver trumpet and shout of those that seize the spoil. Let no man's heart fail him. Christ hath died. Atonement is complete. God is satisfied. Peace is proclaimed. Heaven glitters with proofs of mercy already bestowed upon 10,000 times 10,000. Hell is trembling, heaven adoring, earth waiting. Advance, ye saints, to certain victory. You shall overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. We will continue next time, going back to Pilgrim's Progress, traveling along with Christian until Mr. Spurgeon decides he wants to happily interrupt us again. Wow, what messages. What great men of God have come into our lives and blessed us so well. While you're here at sermonaudio.com, and we welcome you Spurgeon people and you Bunyan people who come over and visit with us from time to time, would you look throughout the website? You're going to find a lot of other good things. I put together a whole series of prophecy studies. And by the way, you will not find those in separate books. Those of you who are regulars, you might be looking at the store. Click on store every once in a while. You will see that all the little prophecy studies are gone, and it's all in one big book called The Last Things. The Last Things. It's there. It's available to you. And I hope that those of you who are visiting with us will check out all the other things that are here at Hackberry House or at this website. God bless you today for being here. And remember Revelation 12:11. Well, don't forget that tomorrow we take our break. While I'm on break on Saturdays, I hope that you'll go through the website and check out other things that we have. Sunday we do our North Korea work with the book by Eric Foley. These are the generations that we're going through a little bit at a time every Sunday. Then Monday we'll come back to Spurgeon and Bunyan and whatever else the Lord has for us. God bless you today. And don't forget Revelation 12:11, where we began. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.